Twisted Sisters Crime will contain mature content, graphic descriptions, and violence.
Listener discretion is advised. This podcast may upset trauma survivors.
Welcome to episode 5.
You know what I love? Fried potatoes, mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, potato soup, all that starchy potato stuff.
Well, great, because today we are going to be talking about the potato state of Idaho.
Idaho?
No, Idaho.
Weedaho.
Whatever. Let's go over some statistics that we have. There is a 2.24 rate, or a 1 in every 447 citizens rate of crime violence in Idaho. In 2019, they had 35 murders, 809 rapes, 155 robberies, and 3,001 assaults.
So welcome to episode 5 of TSC. We want to hear from all of you. So go find our links on twistedsisterscrime.com and DM us on Instagram or Facebook, where you can also find our merch. So without further ado, let's start and hear from Crystal.
All right, my case today is Servio Luera, 39 years old, from Tremont in Utah. He had been sentenced to 16 years in prison by being linked to a triple murder, dogfighting, pit bull breeding, and marijuana growing operation in Malad, Idaho. He was also the only person convicted in connection with this case in 2013. The Idaho State Journal states he must serve at least 8 years before being eligible for parole. However, he had struck a deal with the state prosecutors that could let him out in 10 years. Also stated by the Idaho State Journal, on February 8, 2019, Luera confessed to accompanying 5 individuals to a home where 62-year-old Brent L. Christensen, his 32-year-old son, Trent John Christensen, and his 27-year-old girlfriend, Yvette Carter. They had all been shot. He did receive credits for the 4 years he spent in prison in 2015, so Luera could be eligible for parole in 2023. So a little bit about the backstory of Trent and his girlfriend Yvette and his dad, Brent. So in 2013, the police found bodies of Yvette Siobhan Carter, 27, Trent John Christensen, 32, and Brent L. Christensen, 61, inside of their Idaho home. All three of these individuals had been shot to death. Yvette and Trent's 2-year-old daughter and 2-month-old daughter were found unharmed. The 2-month-old was found protected underneath her mother's dead arms. Oof. And the 2-year-old was found wandering the crime scene inside the house. Both of these girls have been turned over to one of their grandmothers.
Are they, like, okay?
I hope so.
That's rough.
That is rough. A 2-month-old baby found in her mother's arms.
And a 2-year-old just wandering around this house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Authorities suspect that the murders had happened between that Thursday afternoon and Friday around 1 p.m. A visitor found the bodies that Friday afternoon at 2 p.m. A suspected dogfight operation was also found on the property. So a total of 70 pit bulls were seized and taken into a facility in Pocatello.
That's a lot.
They had in between, like, newborn puppies and adult older dogs found in this house. Later, with an escort from the Idaho State Police, the dogs were taken into a larger and more secure Idaho Humane Society in Boise, where many of them were to be adopted into new homes. The dogs were reported to be underweight and suffering from malnutrition, and overall in very poor condition. They found a lot of them. Many of the dogs had lacerations and extensive scarring from old wounds, some suspected to be recently involved in fighting. They also found 38 marijuana plants that valued around $100,000 in the basement.
Dang, my dude.
Yeah. I read a lot of, like, the articles that will be on our website, that a lot of the neighbors that lived around these people had no idea about the dogs. Okay, so they knew about the dogs, but they didn't know that they were using them for fighting each
other. Did they know that they had 70 dogs?
They did know that they had a lot of dogs. They just assumed that they were breeding the dogs and selling them. So they didn't put the two and two together. Mm-hmm. And no one knew that they had all these marijuana plants either in their house. Everyone were like, they were such good people. And like I said, again, these will all be on our website. So that's you can wild. Kind of go back and like look at these people's like, we had no idea these people were doing this.
It's like Ted Bundy's fangirls. And they're like, I don't think he did it.
Right. According to Utah state court records, Luera was charged recently with a misdemeanor drug possession. He was also found guilty of having a vicious dog, which is a Class C misdemeanor in Garland City Justice Court.
The thing that's annoying about that, though,
in 2010,
is that just because he had a pit bull, he gets trouble for it. Like, I know he's a bad guy, but pit bulls are not bad dogs. I get so mad.
Pit bulls are not bad dogs.
Oh my gosh. But
his dog, however, was a vicious dog. And that case was back in 2010. And he got convicted of murdering these people in 2013. Also in 2002, he was convicted of a felony drug distribution and was sentenced to a year in jail. He was also convicted of a misdemeanor drug possession in 2001 and the unlawful selling or supplying alcohol to minors. So this guy kind of had a track record of
Fun things
of dogs and drugs.
But now he's at least in jail until 2023.
Right. He has a parole hearing in 2023. So
I hope he never
has a dog as long again. As you don't have a pit bull that he wants to fight and drugs in your basement, you should be okay.
And you know, he might not come after people. You. Wow.
So kind of crazy story.
So a lot of my research was from watching the ABC 2020 episode on season 43, an episode 14 that just aired in February. So I'm going to talk about Lori Vallow from a lot of places, but this, of course, takes place in Idaho. So she was regarded by friends and family as a loving and good mom who, quote, wouldn't do anything to harm her kids. She played softball, cheer, and was a hairstylist so that she could help people feel good about themselves. She also grew up in the LDS church. So in total, she had 5 marriages, but we're gonna kind of go through each of them. In 1992, she married a man named Nelson Yanes, but the family didn't approve, and so they didn't attend this wedding. In 1995, she married a man named William Lagoya, and I'm sorry if I said that wrong, and she had her oldest son, whose name is Colby. In 2001, she then married Joseph Anthony Ryan Jr., and they had her first daughter named Tylee, I think is how you say her name.
I think that's how it's pronounced, is Tylee.
Yeah, yes. There was like 7 different pronunciations I heard, but that's how it's spelled, and so I'm going to say Tylee.
Tylee.
Yeah. And so, during this time, Lori also appeared on the Wheel of Fortune show, and she was acting like a loving wife, and she was living the life that everyone dreams of. Like, they ask her, like, where she lives, and she's like, oh, I live with my husband, and he's taking care of our children, and I'm so happy. Yeah.
Okay.
And then in 2004, she also did the Miss Texas pageant. It's kind of creepy because when they asked, they were doing the questions, and when they asked her about what made her tick, she claimed that she was a ticking time bomb with juggling work, being a mother, and doing the pageant all at the same time. A little weird phrasing.
Kind of a weird sentence to say in a beauty pageant.
Yeah. And at this time, sadly, members of Lori and Tylee's family did see Joseph physically abuse Colby. But this was never proven in a court of law. So they did get divorced, and then in 2006, she married Leland Charles Anthony Vallow. And he just goes by the name Charles, mostly. And they moved to Arizona. Together, they decided to adopt JJ. And it's a little confusing how this dynamic works, but JJ's biological grandmother is named Kay Woodcock, and she is Charles's sister. And so Kay and her husband Larry are technically JJ's like aunt and uncle because he adopted them, but they keep the role of grandparents because biologically they are his grandparents.
Okay.
And JJ is also on the autism scale, and so he does have a dog, a service dog named Bailey, and he's really cute though. So at this time, Lori starts reading these doomsday books by a man named Chad Daybell, and her brother Alex Cox both fall in love with his books and believe in what he's teaching, which I'll kind of go into later. And because of this, Charles accuses Lori of having an affair with Chad, which is funny because in 2019, Lori returns the favor and accuses him of having an affair and ends up canceling his flight back home from a business trip, moves and hides his truck, throws all his clothes away, and drains his bank account. When Charles makes it home in January, he calls the cops after Lori threatens that she could kill him with her powers. Lori claims that she is married to the angel Moroni, she knows when the second coming is, and that Charles was killed, and someone named Nick Schneider had taken over his body. He tries to get her under a mandatory mental health evaluation. So I do have a clip from the body cam of the police that showed up to talk to him, so you can kind of hear it in his own words.
Okay. So what makes her a danger to herself and to others?
She threatened me, murder me, kill me.
She threatened to murder you?
Yes. She said, you're not Charles. I don't know who you are, what you did with Charles, but I can murder you now with my powers.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
She says, I'm going to kill you too.
So she's speaking as a spiritual being.
So yeah.
Okay. So she didn't actually kill Charles.
Hold. At that point, she was just threatening that she was going to kill him.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so he asked the cops to put her under a mandatory mental health evaluation. And I also have a clip from when they detain her and are talking to her. And I know it's really hard for cops. They can't take sides and stuff, but they were being very accommodating to her and kind of laughing with her, and she ends up like laughing with them, telling them like, I don't know why he would think that. So let me play that. Right.
Based off just what your husband said.
Says.
Yeah. So doctors play it safe.
Sorry. I just think it's funny because he's trying to
just let him
right. So.
That's very smart. Because I'm really the one that did something wrong.
So it was kind of creepy. She's sitting there laughing and her daughter Taylee is with her, and she's kind of trying to defend her, and she's just laughing at the fact that it's her that's doing anything wrong. So they end up filing for a divorce, and they're in that process. And then a few months later, on July 11th, Charles goes to Lori's house to take JJ to school. According to Alex Cox and Lori Vallow, Charles had put JJ in his car and forgot his phone in the house, and so Lori had picked up the phone to bring it to him. And Charles walked back in the house and got really mad at Lori. Lori demanded to know what was on his phone that made him so mad. And then that's when Tylee came out of her room with a bat to try and protect her mom. Charles then took the bat from Tylee. And that's when Alex said that he came and pulled Charles from behind, which made Charles hit Alex in the back of his head with the bat. So then Alex went into his room and grabbed his gun. And then Tylee and Lori left the house, and as they were leaving, Lori heard the gunshot. Alex claimed that he shot Charles in self-defense. So then Lori then went and put Tylee in the car that JJ was in and went to Burger King to grab JJ some chicken fries and a Sprite before taking JJ to school. So that's what you do when you hear a gunshot in your house, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I want some Burger King.
Yeah. And so here is the 911 call that Alex called.
And what is the emergency?
I shot my brother-in-law.
Okay, what part of his body is injured?
In the chest.
I'm sorry, where?
In the chest.
Okay, is he awake and responsive or unconscious?
Unconscious.
Okay, is he breathing?
I can't tell.
Okay, are you willing to go over to him and check?
Sure.
Okay, do you just let me know if you see his chest going up and down? How old is he?
It's not moving. He's 60.
Okay, and are you wanting to start CPR?
No, I don't know how to do that.
I can walk you through it.
Okay.
Okay, wait. Did he say he shot his brother-in-law?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he says, I accidentally shot my brother-in-law. And she says, is he breathing? No. Do you want to do CPR? No, I don't know how. To me, hearing that call, he claims it was only a few minutes after that fight. He sounds way too calm to have just been in this super intense fight, been hit in the head, to have shot somebody. Like, he just sounds way too calm to me.
Mm, yes.
And even Lori, when she comes back, she's completely normal. There's a body cam footage that she apologizes to the neighbors for creating such a fuss around her house. Like, it's just, they're both so normal the whole time. It's weird. But luckily for Charles, he had moved his beneficiary on his life insurance to his sister, Kay Woodcock, without telling Lori. So he did do this because he believed, after the January 2019 thing with the cops, that if he died, Lori would not save his money for JJ. And so, sad, on August 19th, JJ's service dog, Bailey, was put up for sale for $2,500 and sold to another family. And later that month, Lori took Tylee and JJ and they moved up to Rexburg, Idaho. So Chad Daybell was a gravedigger when he lived in Springvale, Utah. He was married to a woman named Tammy. Chad was a part of the LDS faith, yet claimed that his veil was torn, which allowed him to download events of the upcoming doomsday in July of 2020, and that Rexburg was where the 144,000 souls needed to gather. So he wrote books on this topic, and as previously mentioned, Lori and Alex loved him. So when Lori moved to Rexburg, she began to help Chad mass store medical supplies, canned food, water, and other survival needs. On September 8th, Alex, Lori, Tylee, and JJ all went to Yellowstone. And I have a picture of them there. And sadly, this is the last known place that Tylee is, and the last known picture of Tylee. It's really blurry, but it'll be on the blog. And yeah, that's sad. Mm-hmm. And then on September 22nd, Lori disenrolled JJ in school and told her friends that JJ was a zombie because he watched TV and his vocabulary was improving. Lori, Chad, and Alex, all being a part of this doomsday cult that they called the Church of the Firstborn, believed that July 2020 was the end and also believed that zombies had dark spirits and had to be taken care of. That same night, Lori had house guests over who saw Alex take JJ for a while, then bring him back in the evening. The next day, the same guests asked where JJ was because he wasn't there in the morning, and Lori said that he started acting up in the middle of the night, so Alex came back and took JJ. And this was the last time that anyone ever saw him.
So is it suspected that Tylee was killed first?
Yes.
And then JJ?
Yeah. And though, in a minute I'll get into them over that, but yeah, they do suspect that Tylee was killed on September 8th and that JJ was killed on September 22nd. Okay. And there is, like, besides those house guests, there is some, like, Ring doorbell footage I found of JJ after Tylee disappeared, so we know that he was still alive around the middle of September.
Mm-hmm.
It's just after that no one saw them. So October 1st, Lori got a storage unit in Idaho. Later, police found surveillance footage of what appears to be Lori and Alex making multiple trips to the locker. Later, when they will come and serve a search warrant, they found a scooter, a backpack with JJ's initials, and a photo album with photos of JJ and Tylee. On October 9th, Tammy, who was still married to Chad, came home from work and she posts on Facebook, quote, "A guy with a ski mask was suddenly standing by the back of my car with a paintball gun. He shot at me several times, although I didn't think it was loaded. I yelled for Chad and he ran off around the back of my house. I have no idea what his motive was and we never spoke, even after I asked him several times what he thought he was doing," close quote. So then 10 days later, on October 19th, Tammy died of natural causes, even though she was training for a marathon at the time. Also, Chad had declined an autopsy for her and just went and buried her back in Springvale. And he got a $430,000 life insurance payout for her death. So now it's kind of back and forth, but now we're going to go back to Kay Woodcock, who was Charles's sister. She had never found an address for Lori when she moved to Rexburg, and she is still JJ's grandma, and so she's been trying to get a hold of her because she wants to see JJ and all this, and hasn't happened since she moved. So she did, however, still have access to one of Charles's emails because they worked together, and she saw an Amazon email that showed that Lori was still using his Amazon account, and she found Lori's address from there. The Amazon purchase was a wedding ring that is seen in her later photos that she when she got married to Chad. And this payment on Amazon was dated before Tammy's death. So November 5th, Chad and Lori went to Hawaii and got married, but absolutely no one was invited to the wedding. It was just the two of them. And then November 7th, Chad applied for some rental houses in Hawaii. The very next day, there is an email where he's asking about leasing houses for a clean couple with no pets or children. And then November 26th, Alex claims that JJ was with his grandparents in Louisiana. Lori says that JJ is with her friend Melanie Gibb. And Lori even called Melanie and asked her to lie and tell everyone that she had JJ. But Melanie calls the police and tells them that she doesn't have JJ. She doesn't know where he is, all that. So keep in mind, like, JJ and Tylee still haven't been seen since September. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so finally, December 8th of 2019, Melanie calls Lori, and she recorded this call. She tries to get them to admit that they asked her to lie. Lori claims that she wanted police to think that JJ was somewhere else so that Kay wouldn't know where he was. Melanie asked if he was okay, and Lori states that he is safe and happy. At this point, police are able to go to Utah and exhume the body of Tammy, although it was complicated since she had already been buried for 2 months. So the autopsy is a little unclear, and at this point, Chad has not been charged with her death at all. So they're obviously getting a little suspicious, but they don't quite have enough to do anything. During this whole time, Alex had been with this girl named Zulema Pastinis, I think it's how you say your name, I'm really sorry. And he ended up marrying her in Vegas, and he took her last name so that people wouldn't be able to tie him to Alex Cox, because obviously that's all it takes.
Mm-hmm.
So in Gilbert, Arizona, on December 12th, Alex collapsed in Zulema's house. Her 25-year-old son at the time, Joseph, he called 911 saying, you know, there's this guy, and he didn't even know they're married. He said, there's this guy, he's my mother's boyfriend. Alex is then pronounced dead at 51 years old. It was ruled as a natural death. Alex's mom, however, didn't even know that he was married at the time, and so she didn't find out about his death for a whole week. They eventually cremated him and had a small funeral of people who didn't believe him to be a murderer, since everyone was convinced that he had killed Charles Vallow. And then on December 20th of 2019, JJ and Tylee are officially declared missing and endangered. January 7th in 2020, it has now been 3 months since JJ and Tylee were last seen. And so Larry and Kay Woodcock release a $20,000 reward for any information. January 25th, Lori and Chad are still in Hawaii, and Lori gets a court order to produce the children in 5 days. This 5 day passes and nothing happens. Lori doesn't give the children. In fact, they're asked a lot of questions from reporters about where the kids are, if they're okay, and they just ignore everyone. So on February 20th, Lori is arrested for desertion and non-support of dependent children. She's given a $5 million bond, and then she's extradited to Idaho from Hawaii. Chad comes to Idaho for her court hearing, but he was not arrested at this time. Law enforcement reached out to FBI and used their CAST program, which stands for Cellular Analysis Survey Team, and they track Alex's phone pings over the last few months. So way back to when Tylee and JJ were last seen. On September 8th, Tylee disappeared in Yellowstone. The next day, on the 9th, Alex's phone pings at his own apartment in the early hours of the morning. At about 9:30, it then pings in Chad's backyard. And they do have a text from Chad to Lori at 11:53 saying, quote, "Well, I've had an interesting morning. I felt I should burn all the limb debris by the fire pit before it got too soaked by the coming storms. While I did so, I spotted a big raccoon along the fence. I hurried and got my gun, and he was still walking along. I got close enough that one shot did the trick. He is now in the pet cemetery. Fun times." Close quote. However, no raccoon was ever discovered on Chad's property. And so they believe he was talking about Tylee.
Tylee was in Yellowstone on the 8th. However, they think on the 9th, she was with her Uncle Alex.
Well, when they went to Yellowstone, it was Tylee, JJ, Alex, and Lori all went to Yellowstone together. And that's the last known picture of Tylee. So they know that she went with them to Yellowstone. They don't know if they killed her at Yellowstone and brought her back, or if they came back and they killed her later that day. But they do know she was at Yellowstone on the 8th. And then Alex's phone pinged in this guy's backyard on the 9th. And later it'll explain why that's important. But okay. Basically that's when she is dead at that point. September 22nd, remember, was the last day that anyone had saw JJ. And so on September 23rd, that CAST program showed that Alex is again in Chad's backyard in the early morning hours. So because of all this, June 9th of 2020, a search warrant was executed at Chad Daybell's house. They gridded off areas and began peeling layers of earth and dirt. And they found some topsoil that they took off, and underneath were three large white rocks. Under these were thin wood paneling, and under that, they were hit with the smell of a decomposing body and a small black bag covered in duct tape. They could also see hair, which was the same length and color as JJ's. At this point, they moved to where Alex's phone pinged on September 9th and found charred remains. There was a melted green bucket, and under the bucket was a partial human skull. This was ID'd with dental records to be Tylee. So during the search, Chad Daybell was watching in his driveway in his car the whole time. Lori called him from jail at this time, asking what's happening, and Charles says they're just searching and they'll have to see what will transpire. Lori offers to pray for Chad, but he says that she should just contact their lawyer, Mark. As soon as the remains are found, Chad starts to drive away, and that's when the police follow him and arrest him. The biggest mystery and the reason that no murder charges have been placed is because they don't know who killed and how between Alex, Chad, or Lori. Lori's sister released a statement saying, quote, "We have prayed for the truth to come to light, but we never thought it would look like this. Tylee and JJ are completely irreplaceable in our family. There are no words that can capture this loss. Words aren't adequate. Our family will never be the same." Close. Lori's eldest son, Colby, who is still alive, stated in a Fox 10 February 2020 interview that his mother would die for her two youngest kids, and that it's really making a battle of what he thinks and feels. His relationship with his mom changed as soon as she abruptly left Arizona about a month before Charles Vallow's death. In August of 2019, his mom moved to Idaho, and he wasn't able to get Tylee to answer his phone calls anymore. He was done believing anything his mother said as soon as he saw her and Chad walking in Hawaii without Tylee and JJ. So Lori's charges of desertion and of minor dependence were dropped because they found their bodies, but now Lori and Chad have charges of concealing and destroying evidence and unlawful tampering with human remains. At the time of the ABC 2020 publication on February 26th of 2021, they are scheduled to go to court with these charges in July of this year.
Wow, guys, we have both had some crazy stories today.
Yeah, that just goes to show that even the quietest states can have the weirdest people. So thank you all for listening, and go check on the blog for all the sources and pictures that we found for today.
Thank you all for your wonderful support for us, and we hope to catch your ears next week. Until then, stay smart, stay safe, stay twisted.